everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarponito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
Irashaimase.
And Colin Sparling.
Hello, everybody.
And today we're going to talk about episode 8 of Tokyo 2019-2020, Passive Boys.
Passive.
A bunch of passive boys.
Boys, you know, you're passive.
You know, I just don't care that much. I don't know. I'm just a guy here.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys still want to do this podcast? I mean, I'm okay either way. Do you guys
either way,
boys. You know, I mean, stop being so passive.
I want to do it. No, if you want to do it, do you want to do it?
Yeah, Daily, do you mind leading this? Yeah, I don't know if I want to lead this podcast.
I'm just a guy here. We're just passing along the time.
Okay, I'm gonna stop this. I feel like the joke stopped being funny a minute ago.
All girl electronic indie band. Call them the Passive Boys.
There you go.
There it is.
Someone, TM, mail that to yourself.
TM.
That's not how it works, guys.
this episode, we get to see, this is maybe an episode that reminds me a lot of just kind of like, it makes me think of sitcoms like Friends, or like a lot of sitcoms in the 90s, where it was very like a boys versus girls subtle mentality. Mm-hmm. And this episode evoked a lot of that for me.
100%.
So we opened this episode with the panel, of course, and Tokui says that Kaori's a bit in a grip between Haruka and Risako, much like a crab claw.
The crab claw is coming out.
I love seeing that like come to him, like that idea, and he was like, oh, it's like crab claw.
Just anywhere I can squeeze a crab reference into the show, I'm gonna do it. And Yama's not having any of it.
No, he's so sick of it.
I wonder if they're crabcore fans.
Yep.
No.
But we get into the episode itself. We open up in Shibamata in Tokyo with Kaori and Shohei. They're doing their little deito, right? They're at the station. They're seeing all these statues, which, fun fact, those statues are of like Torojiro Kuruma, who's like a famous character, like a movie character from back in the day that's from that area. And he's kind of like an icon in the area, which is why there are statues there. Fun fact.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is fun.
This is giving me some Shion and Tsubasa vibes, this date.
I liked how it was a nice day. I remember the sun was shining, and I remember when Kaori's like, do you know who this person is, that statue? And Shohei's like, no. And then she goes, oh, it's Sakura. He goes, how do you know? He's like, it's written right there.
It's written.
I just read the sign.
Hey, Shohei's a writer, not a reader. Reader is not one of his many talents.
Yeah, he's not a photographer either, which we find out later.
God, I went to school for journalism. To me, it's wild that his idea of, I need to write this article about this place where there are things to do and things to see, not once does he think, maybe I should photograph.
I mean, you guys have phones, right? Diablo?
Yeah, you have phones?
Oh my God. Have phones.
It's such a pity because it is such a picturesque place. Like, it's beautiful. They're sitting on that like porch area. They have like the little puppy incense burner. Like, usually those incense burners that you sit out in the summer, like on porches in Japan, they're like shaped like a pig. Like, that's just kind of like the traditional, like, hackneyed version. But like, this one is like a cute puppy with a bow and like beautiful eyes. And then they eat like all this cute stuff, and he doesn't take a picture of any of it, which is a problem that I also have when I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. And then I eat half of it, and then I'm like, oh, I should have taken a picture.
Should have got that gram.
My Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
That gram.
Yeah. That scene was very picturesque, where they were sitting the hardwood floor in front of the Japanese garden. It was beautiful. And then I believe Kaori goes on a tangent about how her grandma had a very similar garden with maybe even a waterfall. And I'm like,
yeah, but there's
a trickle.
Yeah, it was a trickle of a stream.
I'm like, damn.
But it's gone now. It's gone now.
Damn, kind of hitting at the well-off side of Kaori's family, I guess.
Yeah. So there's something I do want to point out here. And this is something I've noticed Kaori do multiple times in this episode, and just the way she interacts with people. So, you know, Shohei is like, oh man, I just forgot. I didn't take any pictures. I'm a fucking noodlehead. And then he asks Kaori, do you mind drawing for the articles? Because the editor, I can talk to the editor, we could pay you well.
Right.
And her response is along the lines of, I've been meaning to draw Ginza anyway, so it works out. As in, like, I don't, Don't worry, you're not troubling me. This is something I wanted to do anyway. Mm. You're just giving me more reason to do it.
And thanks for the money.
Yes.
And thanks for the money. But,
yeah. I don't know if, can they afford her? Like, and he was just like, oh, you could draw something. We'll pay you. And it's like, she's working for the big magazines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She works for a pretty big time fashion magazine, right? So yeah. I don't think that's just like, it's not any, you know, there's no $50 cheap commissions happening here or something.
Maybe she'll give him the roommate rate though, you know, but she's like, oh, we did. That's when she points out we didn't take any pictures. And you know who would have taken a picture, Shohei? Not to hate on you too hard, but like a professional writer that does this full time, like Robert said, would have probably taken some pictures as he's out and about. But you're just so spread thin on so many different things. Like he's just easily distracted and I guess just unfocused, it seemed like.
And that does segue well into the next scene where they're at Chawari, right, in Meguro, where they're at that bar that Kaori had suggested on their first date. Like, hey, if you like green tea highball, you'll like Chawari. Let's go there.
Yeah.
And they're having beer. Shohei's feeling good about his article, even though he didn't take any pictures for it. And this is when Kaori brings up the tempura incident, which I've noticed keeps rippling back around now. Because it was last week, I think, when Haruka... Or no, 2 weeks ago, Haruka apologized to him about it, right?
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's rippling back now. And she asks him... She's a little wishy-washy, but he's like, just say it to me straight. And when she does, he does his little weird fucking stoner laugh.
Who wants to do it? It's just... Yeah, I really noticed it there. That's when I was like, oh, that's soundbite worthy. Here we go. And she is genuinely, you know, like curious. Like, is this like, it's just so hard for the house to like accept maybe that that's really how he feels. They're just like, oh, he's just figuring out what he likes and then he's going to pick one. Like, no, not really. That's just not who he is.
It's not seeming that way
and
so far.
And his goal is, you know, what is he, 25? His 26. Goal is to work and have a family, which is an important key here, but then have enough money to pay his bills so the family doesn't suffer, but then also just have a drink at night.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, doable, but it's risky, right? It's just such a risky way of living when you're just doing so many things all the time and there's no stable income. I mean, you can't help but feel for anyone that is trying to consider long-term prospects with somebody, but when they're on such unstable foundation, it's going to make it hard. You know, and that's why you see it all over Kaori's face, too, man. Her expression when she's like, is that really how you feel? Mm-hmm. Oh, it was painful.
Yeah. And I feel like in that sense, too, he's contradicting himself. Right. Because if his plan is to ultimately have like stable income, not, you know, where being able to pay his bills, being able to pay for stuff involving his family and then also being able to have a drink whenever he wants. That implies he wants a stable income. So being wishy-washy and pursuing 5 million different careers all at once is not going to provide that.
Yeah, I think he's skipping the step that's it's like in order to get to where you're looking to get, which is getting into a stable place that like you can start a family and just chill out at your favorite local bar in the evenings. He's skipping the part that it's like you need to get your shit figured out essentially. Mm-hmm. And for someone so career minded as Kaori,
yes,
it's like any kind of like feelings that might have been there, because I thought they got along really well on their date. Like they looked like they had a lot of fun, but any kind of like future plans, like could this work out between them in the future, like was dashed instantly because that just does not jive with where she's at.
Yeah. Total red light in that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, that's kind of my takeaway from it. But as you point out as well, too, it is fairly, it's not out of their own possibility that, you know, well-to-do women find themselves with unremarkable men, you know? Mm. So he's kind of made it plain like, hey, this is who I am. I'm not going to change, da-da-da-da, kind of laid his cards out there. So now Kaori's like, well, if this is going to be like a thing where we date and we're in a relationship, I just have to be the breadwinner. I mean, that is a possibility.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing either. I think that might be a harder pill to swallow in Japan, because I think Japan is a little bit more masculine-centered than America tends to be.
Definitely.
But I would be there. I'd be here for a great relationship like that where Shohei, you know, takes on more like house duties, but also that gives him the perfect time to write his article here and there and then practice his acting over here and all that, you know? Like, I feel like that would actually fit who he wants to be very well.
So, and ideally... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just Kumiko. I don't want to slag the man. I think it I kind of admire him for wanting to pursue the life he wants in the face of so much adversity, because pretty much everyone in the house is kind of like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. You know?
Okay. So here's the thing, though. So ideally, yes, like everyone can be happy. Everyone can do what they want. I get it. But the look on Kaori's face, that is not what she's looking for. And that's not going to make her happy. It's very concerning to her. And so it doesn't look like it's a good fit for them as a couple. Right. Those two specifically.
Yeah. You know, I wonder what Shohei's calendar looks like. If you were to look at it, put a schedule on a Google calendar.
You think
calendar,
this man has a calendar?
I doubt it. But if you were to just like plot it all out on a calendar, I'm like, dude, it sounds like you just, part of it's probably he just needs to get organized on top of all that. But, assuming he's not, you know, I would hate to see him sitting there and trying to plan out all this stuff he does, making time for this, this, that, this, this, and that. Living the way that he does, I can't help but feel like I would get burnt out in this situation.
I don't see a problem with him, like how he is. Like, that's fine. He's 25.
No, I don't inherently see a problem with it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you do, but to Daly's point here, the incongruency here is that he's saying he wants a family.
Right.
You know, if he was just like, hey, I'm here to have fun, I'm here to do whatever, I can go to Taiwan whenever I want to, fine, do your thing. But if you want to, again, have some sort of stability here, then your income cannot be a source of kind of chaos in your life in order to have that stability, right?
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, as someone who I'm stretching myself pretty thin, I have my hands in a lot of different pots out of kind of necessity right now. But for me, I'm like looking forward to the day when I can just have one thing I can, or one or two things that I can put all of my energy into instead of five or six.
Yeah, so, what's the thing? Like, don't half-ass anything, whole-ass one.
Exactly.
Only.
Thanks, Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Ron Swanson,
DM.
Yeah.
Whole-ass one thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to have to see where this goes, because Kaori, I don't think she writes off Shohei completely. I think she's still, like, because she still wants to know, right? I guess we can go to the next scene here after the Shintro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're in Shinsen, Tokyo, where all the girls are together. They were remarking like, hey, it's getting summery. Let's go to the pool. Let's, you know, get floaties for the pool. And they sit down at this French restaurant called Seven Clover. And the first thing they talk about is Risako asks, hey, when you two are together upstairs, do you talk about the guys? And this is where this whole conversation happens, where Kaori and Risako, or Kaori and Haruka, say, hey, you should join us. We don't want to exclude you.
Right.
But at the same time, Haruka and Risako definitely disagree on their approach to sharing information about the people they're interested in.
This was well placed and paced in this episode, because this is a theme that comes back later and we will get there. Don't worry. But this is just basically showing, you know, Haruka and Risako are different. They handle things differently. They have different comfort levels, especially when it comes to romance. And so Haruka kind of admitted that she's like, well, XYZ, this is why I have been avoiding you. This is why I don't feel comfortable talking to you, right? They kind of laid it out there to bear. And it was cool to see them all talk.
Right.
I thought maybe they would have patched some things up, but it just seems like they kind of stirred the pot a little bit here.
Yeah. They did the part of the discussion where they laid it out there and how they feel and stuff like that, but no rift was really crossed. You know what I mean? Nothing was really patched up. So it was kind of just left open, and if anything, like, the wound was getting bigger after that.
It did feel good, though, that, like, all the girls were able to sit down and talk for once.
Right.
Because it has very much been that season of, like, Risako hanging out with the guys and it feeling, like, very isolated. So I think it helped, like, the overall vibe for the girls' side of the house with, like, hey, we don't mean to exclude you, and like, oh, I'm glad that we all got to talk together versus something boiling over later like it did in Opening New Doors with Maya.
Yeah,
agreed.
But yep.
This is a part of the episode where I started to notice maybe Risako is just a little bit evil. Like, she's okay with doing a little bit evil to get the good, right?
Evil is a strong word, Robert.
I'm just saying, man.
She has a mean streak that comes through, I think. She doesn't really know when to let up sometimes. She's like, when she finds a point, she'll poke at it. You know, she'll pour a little salt in the wound a little bit.
Right, right. Like. But yeah. this is the first time I think we've actually seen a little bit of a upfront aggression, I would say, from Risako.
Yeah, because she says, and this is the point that made me think she's a little evil, or at least a little bit of a liar, in that she says she doesn't want to come off like she's bragging about the guy she's interested in, right? Like, that's not her approach. Her approach is just that she wants everyone to know all the information, since everyone knows it's happening anyway. Like, let's just make it open instead of pretending we're keeping secrets.
And that's not how Terrace House works.
No.
From yeah, what I know about Terrace House.
So I think it's noble, right, to say, I don't want this to be like a thing where I win. It's just like, here's the information. But on the other hand, when you thank a drunk man profusely right in front of the other girl who's chasing after him, like, you thank him five times, you deep bow in the seat you're sitting on, like, that can't help but come off as like, fuck you, Haruka. Look at what I did. Look at, like, him paying for my meal.
Yeah.
Dangling a little bit. Kind of dangling. Yeah.
She definitely says one thing, but then in her head, she definitely, at least based on her actions, she definitely sees it as a competition.
It almost seems like it's less and less about Kenny and more and more about winning.
It definitely is starting to feel that way, especially since Kenny isn't really explicitly interested in either of them.
Yeah. I wonder if it's that way, or just to play kind of like Risako's advocate here. Like, if she's really just truly kind of smitten with him and just can't help but, because she can't help but talk about things, as we've I think learned over this season, like, she'll just go ahead and say it. So maybe she's been like really restraining herself in terms of talking about, like, oh, I think I really like Kenny, or like, oh, it was really cool that we did this on the date, etc., etc.
Yeah. And so one thing,
she doesn't want to restrain herself anymore.
Sorry, Daily. So one thing about Risako, since we were talking about kind of her personality here, is I went back to episode one and kind of listened to her first monologue, like, describing who she is as a person. And she said that she can be sometimes too intense in a relationship, too into it, and find it overbearing and drive people away, where then other times she can be like too withdrawn and not care at all. And so it's kind of interesting to see, like, there's two sides of her here. And I don't know, I just thought it was interesting, because I just wanted to see if I could get any more clues or any insight into what might be going on in her mind here. It just seems like it's just kind of devolved into some kind of petty competition,
right?
And and we just don't see enough of her and Kenny bonding, really, because, like, the last thing we saw was them on the rooftop terrace, right? And that's when Kenny told her, right, or am I wrong, that was the last time they were alone. And then he was saying, oh, I can see Haruka now as a romantic interest. So it's like, I don't know, you know, how close they actually are.
Seeing Kenny's stance on the issue is really what I need to see, because I think with the whole incident that happened when it was Risako, Haruka, and Kenny sitting at the kitchen table, you know, when Haruka took it on herself, or Risako took it on herself to basically tell Kenny that Haruka likes him, then obviously that whole thing's happened to him. And I think in that situation, that was pushing Kenny away really hard. I mean, he was just like, I got to get out of here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was looking for an excuse to kind of leave the room. He's like, this is uncomfortable. Mm. You know?
So I want to circle back to Kaori and Shohei here, right? Because Risako turns the question now to Kaori, who's mainly been the instigator of the questions right now, right?
Yeah.
Risako asks Kaori, but what about Shohei? How do you feel about him? And she relays the whole family over career thing. But at the same time, she can't shake the feeling that she just wants to know the truth. Like, does he still like her? You know, and I think if it's something that bothers you enough where it's like, it's something you just, quote unquote, at least want to know, there's at least some sort of investment she has in him.
She wants to know the truth. Like, a really powerful thing that he did, you know, episode one, day one, I'm strongly drawn to you. Like, I wouldn't be able to resist, like, my heart being like doki doki a little bit if someone just like straight up like looked you in the eye and said something like that.
Yeah, it takes balls to do that. And he was taking the initiative there. He wasn't being a passive boy.
But now they're all being passive boys, because Risako brings up this. She asks it in a very teacher-like way, where she basically says, raise your hand if you think the boys haven't been assertive enough. And they all do.
Crystal.
And, yeah, thanks, Jack. Thanks for holding up your hand there. But yeah, they all agree, and they say something that I just didn't notice until now, but they say Kenny hasn't asked anyone out on a date.
Because he hasn't.
And is that true? Ever. Yeah, that's true.
He just sits there. He's in analysis paralysis, as we call it. He's an overthinker. I mean, and this is totally something we've been talking about ever since we first heard from him from his first intro interview. He doesn't want a girl to even know that he's a singer because they're just gonna fall instantly in love. It's like, dude, you're overthinking it now.
Yeah,
like you have literally you can't take any initiative because you're too worried about what might happen. I don't. And the thing about Kenny is when he said to, I hope I'm not jumping too far ahead, but when he said, I don't want to ask anyone out because I don't want to lead them on, is he just saying he doesn't like anybody? I don't want them to think so. I like them. Like, what
that's
a dick.
That's the sense I get. Yeah.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Because the whole point of asking someone out is to get to know them, right?
Gosh.
Like, not necessarily. Like, if you like them, you would say, hey, let's go on a date because let's see if this can lead to something romantic.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, this whole thing has been, like, kind of confusing to me in the sense that it's like, they're like, oh, you guys are too passive. You don't ask anyone out on dates. It's like, that very heavily puts the assumption on that the Terrace House formula is about, like, dating versus, like, maybe dating. Like, it seems like they're coming from the perspective that, like, they should all be
coupling up.
Possibly. Yeah, coupling up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I see exactly what you mean, Daily, because now it's that kind of an expectation. It's implying that they walked in with an expectation to date someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this carries into the next scene, right? We're in the first floor. It's Shohei, Risako, and Ruka. And look, Risako just is straight up like, hey, the girls and I have been talking. You boys fucking suck. Stop being so passive.
But before she does that, though, key here, she goes,
right.
This doesn't have to do with you, Ruka.
Just like,
you're excused from this conversation. By the way, you men, we need more initiative for you. But we don't expect much from the boy here. We get that, Ruka. And it was just like, dude, he just kind of sat there and like hugged his knees and rocked back and forth. I felt bad for him, man.
Like his face, like he looked like, I was like, is he going to cry? Like, that there would be anything wrong with that, but I was just like, are you okay?
It was emasculating. He hated that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that I think, you know, even with 19-year-old me in that situation, I think I would be pretty upset with that too. You know, if I was like trying to be a dating prospect in the house and someone tells me, yeah, you're not even in the dating conversation.
Ruka's definitely there to date. He's definitely there.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And to hear like, oh, well, we don't consider you the same way we consider the expectations for you are lower. The bar is lower for you. You know, that's rough.
It is demeaning.
Risako throws another attack at him too, because not only does she say, hey, you're not in this conversation, don't worry about it, boy. But also,
boy,
you're too shy, even though I don't believe you're too shy. But whatever. It's like she's just fucking throwing him under two buses.
So, yeah, this is kind of another tangent here, too. So after our last takedown of Ruka, I guess, you know, in the comments and on social media, like the RDF has come to the fore, the Ruka Defense Force. So a lot of people think we're being too rough on him.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of get that because we are kind of dogpiling on him. But the RDF is out here now defending this man. But keep in mind, guys, you might know more stuff that we don't know. We're only taking this on an episode by episode basis. And I'm willing to come back around on him. But it's just the thing that Risako says, right? Can we all agree that she knows him the best of all three of the girls?
Oh, yeah.
Her statement here saying he's not being sincere. That's the problem I've always had with him. Like from day one, I was like, I don't think this guy's being for real. I don't think he's being upfront about who he is, what he's like dating. I just think he's kind of playing a shy character here. And so that's the issue. The underlying issue I have with the guy is I just don't know how sincere he's being, but we'll find out. You know, I am willing to like him eventually. It's just right now, I just don't know if he's true to himself.
Yeah. That's the thing is like the thing we've talked about a few times before is I just don't feel like I know Ruka. You know what I mean? As long as we've watched the show so far, I don't really feel like I've gotten to know exactly who he is. You know, because
he just
talks about
wishy-washy.
Yeah, and he talks about like shared interests with Haruka and stuff like that. Like, hey, I like Harleys. It's like, okay, that's cool, right? But like, what's your ambition? What's your passion? What's you know, what's something that you deeply care about? Like, there's no deep conversations really coming from Ruka. So,
and that's what Risako is echoing too, right? She can't have those deep conversations with him. He's too young. He's too mature. She's dunking on him now, right? Like, oh, this doesn't include you, even though I don't really believe the things you say. Like, damn.
Right. He's not trying to build a connection.
It seems like in the first comment, like, this doesn't include you. At first, I thought she was just trying to, like, spare his feelings and be like, oh, I totally understand. Like, you're really embarrassed. Like, you can't really control that. But then it was just like, yeah, you're faking it. Like,
yeah, dude, brutal.
Yeah, it tears it to the bone. You're just a child. You are not in this adult conversation, even though I'm only 1 year older than you.
I mean, maybe he just doesn't have enough experience to know how to connect with someone, like a dating prospect. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to see as it develops, right? But anyway, Risa goes very up front. Guys, men, only the men in the house, please be more assertive. Yikes. And also, could you tell Kenny that for me? Because I don't want to tell Kenny that. Thanks.
I really like that you could tell Kenny too.
Thanks. Yeah, it's like, come on. You can't just do that. Like, that's just mean.
And the thing she points out,
relay
too.
Relay this to Kenny.
Yeah. The thing she points out too is like, it's almost like, should we even say it? Because we want you guys, if you're going to ask out, we want you to do it because you want to, not because we asked you to just now. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so that's like the quandary then. That kind of illustrates how bad it is that these girls feel like they have to speak up. Like, Haruka's doubting, do we have any allure? Why are these guys so passive? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, there's really a lot that happens in this scene. I just don't want to get too into the weeds, but there's so much to, like, to dissect. But so Haruka comes in later, right? And the moment she steps in, you know, Haruka, like, Risako says that Kaori is unsure of where Shohei stands with her, right? That Kaori is maybe suspecting that Shohei doesn't like her anymore, which we as the viewers know, yes, that's true. Shohei doesn't have romantic interest in Kaori anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I wanted to highlight this scene because this is happening in front of Ruka. It's like in front of Ruka right now. He's getting all this intel, like calculations are being made in his head. Like, oh no, she thinks that Shohei doesn't like her too. This is my perfect time. Swoop in. Art supplies.
Art supplies.
Which he can't remember the word for art supplies.
Yeah. He says tools, right? Like the word for tools, I think. Yeah.
Crawling on the floor to knock on the door.
Yeah.
Is that where we're at now?
Yeah, well, almost. One more thing in that Haruka also says, like, she also agrees with Risako, yes, you boys are too passive, right? And this is where it a little bit falls apart for me. Like, it makes me wonder what happens off camera that we're not seeing. Because right after she agrees, yes, Shohei, step up, stop being passive. Shohei then asks, oh, but Haruka, we're still going out on the first, right? And she's like, wait, are we?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I told you I'm free. And she's like, did you? I might have forgotten because I was tipsy.
Yeah, you can't get mad that people aren't asking you out and then forget when they do.
And then on top of that, then she's like, what was the event again? I'm sorry. What? Like, this was just off the radar completely.
She's too fucking focused on, Kenny. Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know. And the thing is, the event was also Kenny's live show. Like, you know, there's so many layers here of like, okay, maybe the guys aren't asking you out enough, but also maybe you're just forgetting all the times the guys ask you out. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you're just really complaining about Kenny. Because he's never asked anyone out
there
ever.
There we go. Yeah. It's just about Kenny.
This is, this is directed.
It really is at this phase. It really is all about Kenny.
Yeah. So this next bit here, after Shohei leaves for the bathroom, this has me a little bit like iffy about it. This is where Ruka, like, he shook to his core. Maybe it's the whole he's treated like a child. Maybe it's the whole even Risako doesn't believe his shtick. Or maybe it's the fact that he feels passive himself. But he's, quote, disgusted with himself. And he says, I feel gross because I'm too feminine.
Which is a great thing to say to a woman, I'm just going to say. Especially like one that like values femininity. It's like, I feel disgusting because of femininity.
I know.
It's like, cool. Yeah. I'm right here, but whatever.
Yeah. And he doubles down on it too. He says, I'm turning into the type of person I hate. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, likes, dude. I mean,
like, I guess it just doesn't make sense to me in this scene, especially because right now in the house, the people who are quote unquote the most feminine are the ones being assertive. You know, so it's like, what does femininity have to do with anything about why you feel gross about yourself right now?
Yeah. Shohei says something along the lines like, why would they're all beautiful? All three of these women are beautiful. Like, why would they ever want to go out with us or something to that effect? Didn't he?
Yeah.
Like that's might be his reasoning why he's not showing that much initiative. Kenny's reasoning is because he doesn't want anyone to think he likes them, I guess. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
And then Ruka is just too fucking shy.
That pretty much sums it up.
We might be disagreeing on something here, Jack, because and we'll get to it, but I think Kenny's right to be doing what he's doing.
Ooh.
I'm not saying he isn't right.
Question mark? Oh, okay.
Let's fast forward through the next bit then, because the next bit's the panel. And Yama, I think I feel like if our show had a spirit animal, it would be Yama, because I feel like a lot of our general opinions align with him in that he's also skeptical about Ruka, because at first he wanted to buy a bike because he liked Haruka the gearhead, and now he wants to buy a sketchbook because he likes Kaori the artist head.
He just needs an excuse to artist, talk to them.
Eraser head.
He can't just say, hey, you want to go and, you know, it's a dinner and a movie sometime. I want to get to know you better. He can't say it has to be a reason. There has to be some underlying motive here. Oh, I want to draw. You know, oh, I want a Harley.
No, dude, it's perfectly okay to go out with someone just because you have an interest in them.
Oh, let's go skateboard. You know?
So I know it's a foreign
concept.
You can
have different interests. Like, you can function that way.
Yeah.
So now we're in the boys' room, and Kenny gets home from a show or at the beach, and he's talking about like, oh, guys, I'm so tan. Look at me. And then Shohei's like, Kenny-san, there's some real shit going on right now. You need to stop talking about your suntan.
I think he was half joking.
How he shut him down. He like shut him down. And it's like, there are more important matters to discuss.
We are in dire straits, friend. And he relays the whole passivity thing. And this is what Jack was touching on, where Kenny says he doesn't want to be misinterpreted. Whereas Shohei says, but they're all too beautiful anyway to misconstrue our advances as anything. And then Ruka is... I mean, he doesn't say too much about the girls, but he does complain that he thinks the girls don't see him as a mature boy, and he wants the girls to see him like they see Kenny.
Yeah. Be treated as equals. I mean, he knows that now. They pretty much said it right to his face. We don't consider you like these other two guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I find it funny because, like, to me, isn't it a sign of immaturity to demand people treat you like you're mature?
If you have to say it,
you're not mature.
That's definitely proof to action sort of thing.
That goes with a lot of things. If you have to spend all day convincing people how smart you are, guess what? You're not that smart. And insecurity's quiet. Or no, wait. Insecurity's loud, and being self-assured and being secure in yourself is quiet.
Guys.
Ooh, wisdom.
What if Ruka, what if Ruka evolves into a nice guy TM?
I hate this. No,
I don't know what that is.
No,
I don't know what that is.
I don't want it. That it feels a lot like he, like maybe the femininity comment comes back to he's like, oh, I'm becoming like a beta male, like not like super alpha, like Kenny.
I don't know these terms.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, do you not know what a nice guy
is?
I don't want to get into it. It doesn't sound like a good prep hole to get into.
Okay.
It's not.
It's not.
It genuinely
it's
isn't.
Not
but
really
I
not.
Think. But yeah, I think that's where his insecurity is coming from. Especially, like, I would kind of feel a little bit that way in the sense that both of the people that seemed interested in him and that he was interested in have suddenly flocked to Kenny. And so it's like, I want what he has then. Yeah,
treat me like
him. This is what, if this is what gets attention, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But he's got to be careful, though, because he could easily come off as, like, entitled.
An important,
Yeah.
An important beat here on this scene is there's a revelation, right, Robert?
A revelation about Ruka?
Yes.
Where Shohei reveals to Kenny, Ruka likes Foxco. Kenny does that.
Not the cough. Too hard.
It's pretty good.
That was a good sound, but
Kenny's reaction there is easily the best he's been in 8 episodes.
Because he had some sort of character. Because I thought his charisma would show more at his live show, but looking back on it, like a couple episodes back, there wasn't a lot of charisma there. at the live show. I don't know. Did anyone else get any? I didn't.
To be fair, he's kind of a dry guy. We did see him talk about how his passion for the band was dying.
But his passion for the show is dying. His passion for any of the girls has never been lit really kindled. Yeah, kindled. And it's just like, not to dwell on this too much, but it's just like, why are you here, Kenny? Like, it seems like self-promotion.
So
it seems like self-promotion.
I think the, like, extreme
he
inhale.
He says he's here to find love.
Yeah.
But he's not doing anything about it.
Exactly. I think...
But...
Find a wife.
Yeah.
To kind of go into Kenny's corner here, though, like, he, you know, he said that, you know, the reason why he's not being, you know, aggressive versus passive in terms of asking people out is because he doesn't want to lead, you know, Risako or Haruka along and make them think that he's interested in them.
Yeah.
I think he's just kind of like, you know, I want more people to come. I want more girls to show up. I need to meet someone. I haven't hit it off with them. So
yeah, I don't want to, and I don't want him to force
for
it either.
The next batch.
I don't want him to force
don't
it.
Force
I,
it.
I guess maybe I'm just like, maybe he should leave rather than wait for someone else to leave. I mean, there's other options out there. You know, he doesn't have to sit out there and take up the Terrace House spot.
I do feel like that's kind of what it's coming down to, because I think what the big inhale on screen kind of signifies, right, is that kind of signifies that, well, yeah, he was shocked, I guess, but it was kind of like a sarcastic sort of shocked. And it was in a way, it was...
Everyone loves Kaori. Yeah. Of course you love Kaori.
It's funny. I didn't read it that way, but it's funny to think of it that
like,
way.
Like, you know, it was... I feel like overall his experience in Terrace House in general is a very passive one. We're to the point now where he's just kind of there. And maybe he is there to promote stuff or whatever, but he's just kind of very inactive in the house in general. He just does, you know, he's just kind of there to be there. You know, I don't think he really has much investment in terms of what's going on.
He's going to wait it out till a new girl shows up, apparently.
I don't think that has to be like a shady thing, though. Like,
it's not shady. I'm not trying to say it's shady. It's just I'm being impatient and saying, dude, if you ain't going to do it, then get out of here so someone else will do it. That's what I'm saying.
Someone else can be passive.
And he's saying, get these girls out of here so I can maybe like someone else. That's the difference, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I'm okay with where he's at so far. I mean, because I also liked Armand. You know, and Armand is like king of passive, I think, when it comes to Terrace House. He sits there, he gets shot down a lot, and he does a lot of work outside of the house.
Yeah, but he was asking people out and trying to make stuff happen.
He was active.
Yeah, Kenny doesn't much.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not at the point where I want Kenny to leave.
No, not yet. Me neither.
I'm not there yet either, by the way. I'm not meaning to jump the gun. You know, I'm curious to see what else happens. But I mean, I also don't want to go many more episodes past this where he just sits there.
Mm.
That's going to be super boring.
What if he stands there instead?
And sings.
If he sings karaoke gangster rap songs, then
okay,
then I can see a there
we
play
go
there. Yeah,
so
can we, go, okay,
can we talk about possibly my favorite scene?
Yes, that's what I want to get to right now.
And all Terrace House ever,
because Shohei says, you know what you must do, Ruka.
Make
you
the
have
guys,
to represent us well.
Yeah, make the guys look good. So can I just, let's set up the scene. We
go
cut to the girls'
room.
We go to the girls' room. All the girls are there, and Hanukkah's talking about like, oh, I got a cat sit for one of my friends soon. Oh,
yes.
That's cool. Yeah, send us pictures. That's cool. It's very mundane. It's very like anyone could interrupt this conversation at any time, and it would be okay. And then we cut right outside their door, and we have Ruka going up the stairs. No. And in the last two steps, I think he trips or just like loses the will to live.
He's a child. Listen,
no, I know exactly what the fuck he was doing,
dude.
I know exactly.
Face down, ass up. Ruka Defense Force, fucking defend this scene. RDF, come at me, bro, because we are dealing with a small boy here. That's how I went up the stairs when I was 4 years old. When I couldn't even step up the stairs.
I still do that.
I know. Wait.
Y'all, I still do that.
I listen.
In your apartment building, you
but
do that?
No.
Here's what he was really doing. He wasn't doing it just because, he is a child. But beyond that, what he was doing was he didn't want anyone in the girls' room to hear him approach the door.
Oh my gosh.
That's exactly this is a stealth move.
Yeah, that's his fucking ninja. That's his ninja moves.
I'm serious.
Stealth mode mission? Activate.
He crawled up the stairs very slowly so no one would hear him. And then he noticed that he pitter patters across the floor because he needs to stand in front of the door and mentally prep himself, which is why he waits so long to rap on the door.
He fucking ninja moves up there.
I'm not shitting you. He's sitting there like mentally preparing himself to do what he's about to do. He's like centering himself.
Colin, are you an RDF mole? Are you a mole in our podcast right now defending this boy?
No, I'm not defending him. It's still lame as fuck mole. What he did. But like,
you're a plant.
Like, dude, like, just fucking do it. Like, God.
I mean, the thing about this scene too, okay, so I literally had to rewind it like 3-4 times. I was like, wait, did that just happen?
Am I imagining this? I thought I was watching a different show for a split second.
He baby crawled up the stairs. And so he sits at the door, puts his hand on the sill. God bless this boy. Takes some deep breaths. And the funniest part is he reaches back and he's like thinking and he starts scratching his neck. And then when it does a close up and he actually knocks on the door, you can see the red scratch marks on the back of his neck, how hard he scratched. You can see the claw marks. I'm just like, dude, calm down. You're literally going to ask her to go buy markers. Like, you have it out, man.
I love how long that shot is of just him standing there. Like, it's so excessive that it makes such a good point of like, it makes me wonder, how many more hours of this footage do they have? Like, how long was he really standing out there, right?
Oh, geez.
And I love how they intercut it, too. Before he even knocks, they cut back to inside the girls' room, and they're just talking about, like, Kari says, oh, I need to buy some nail clippers. Like, that's the most mundane sentence I could think of in all of humanity. And to cut it between these shots of this boy standing outside of a door... Oh, it's so good.
Scratching his neck into oblivion. He knocks on the door, and I love how, Kauri, can I borrow you? Oh, all right, yeah. Oh, wait, should he come in? No, I want to talk to you out here in the hallway. Goes out there, and he says, I can't remember exactly what he said, but, you know, he's asking her to go buy stuff with him, and he's like, I need art supplies. So, like, oh, do you want to borrow mine? He just thinks he's asking to borrow her markers and pencils. Like,
you know internally, like, how hard he must have panicked right then.
He can't say the right words.
Like, oh, no. Like, no, I meant, I'd like to, you know, let's go out and buy tools. What? Like, art tools together.
Supplies.
Like, cannot compute.
And the thing about it is, like, this is a part of me why I don't like him, is because I think it's easy for the people he talks to, the people he gets bashful around, to just misconstrue this as, I am so special, I am doing this to this person, it's all me, he likes me so much, he's paralyzed. And I just don't think that's what it is. I just think he can't literally function. When he puts so much weight into just a normal conversation or normally hanging out, it can't just be a casual thing. The man doesn't know how to be casual. It's such a big deal. So people think he likes them that much, and it's not really the case. I mean, that's what Risiko found out the hard way.
He just needs to be cool. I mean, daddy-o.
And as much as we're making fun of him for all this as well, like, anxiety is a thing.
Yes.
And it's just so, like, the secondhand embarrassment, like, my face hurt. Ooh. Like, watching him do this, but, like, watching it a second time and discussing it now, like, other than having had the context of he had to, you know, like, get to the point that he was able to say all that, you know, standing outside the door, he did fine.
Yeah, I'd give him a 6.5 out of 10.
He felt stupid for saying the wrong word.
Yeah, I mean, at least Coyote didn't see the ridiculous crawling up the stairs and crawling across the floor and not
getting. She will.
She
later.
Will, though.
Buddy. Oh, my God. Oh, we might not see it until part two. Oh, man.
Yeah.
God, that's going to be so good.
I can't wait.
Face down, ass up. That's the way I'd like to.
Yeah. Crawl up to a door, like, door and ask someone out.
Yeah, that's the way I like to borrow your markers.
So one thing I do want to say here, we've been dunking a lot on Ruka in this scene, but I want to shift the spotlight over to Kaori because of how nice she is about all this. Like, one, she does offer, hey, do you want to borrow my supplies?
She's the nicest. That's the thing that's so funny about this. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, but the second thing too is the moment he is able to get the words out of his mouth that are like, "No, I want to go shop. Can you shop with me, please?"
Supplies?
She's immediately like, no hesitation, like, "Oh yeah, Ikemas, let's go. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like,
yeah,
100%."
Oh, you did bring up that the way that she's always like, "Oh, this is actually convenient for me." Mm-hmm. This is another example of her being like, "Oh, I needed to buy canvas, so this works out."
Mm-hmm. She's a people pleaser. She's a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily a great thing because she's always going to be second to the whims of others.
Yeah, I think that ties into what we were talking about last week where, you know, she would say, "I don't want to tell Hadaka to stop talking to me about this. So I'll just keep giving her bad advice until she stops talking." I think this all ties into just like she wants other people to like who she is and she's willing to make personal sacrifices or make personal excuses to make it seem like she isn't going out of her way for someone else. And it's just like, "Oh yeah, you can lean on me for anything. You can come ask me to do anything, you know?"
Hi.
Yeah.
Dozo.
Yeah.
So that's why I pointed it out earlier in the episode with Shohei.
I love Kaori so much.
She's so good.
She's 8 years his senior. Keep that in mind. So it took some balls. He made the move. You know, that's a pretty big jump. I don't remember Noah and Sana's the age difference there. That was a pretty wide one too, but this is
21, 30.
Was
but
about
they
9 years.
Such similar temperament.
Yeah, they very
Whereas
similar.
Kaori is very much the one-san, the older older senpai in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she I think she was a little bit more forgiving too cuz she hasn't really spent time with Ruka before at all.
Yeah, she genuinely wants a chance like I live with this person. Let's hang out sometime.
Right.
Yeah, and so he comes back to the room, they debrief with the boys, and Shohei, like, he's a good guy. Like, you know, we've kind of given Shohei a little bit of shit in the past for, like, the way he works, and we've talked about all of that a lot. But nonetheless, I think one thing you can safely say about him is that he's the perfect guy to have in your corner when you need backup for anything, because he will support you 1,000,000%.
Yeah,
and he says, you're, like, you know, Ruka's sweating, heart beating, red-faced, etc. And Shohei just says, you're good as long as she understood you on the most basic level.
Does she know that it's a date?
Did you speak word? Did you speak the word date? Okay, you're fine.
Yeah. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
And I don't even know if he did say date, honestly. I think it was just like, we're going to go by markers. Help me pick them out.
Yeah.
But it becomes clear it's a date later.
Right. And then meanwhile, in the girls' room, they're all like, he totally did that because we said that boys are passive, right? Yeah, I think so. But it was still nice of him, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's just funny that, like, I guess in this moment right now, the guys really can't, quote unquote, win. Not that there's really anything to win, but they definitely do not have the social power in the house right now.
Yeah.
We cut to Diversity Tokyo Plaza in Odaiba. We go to the rooftop on the HLNA Sky Garden. Does anyone remember where we last saw that?
Kaito designed that shit.
He did. Opening new doors, Kaito designed a bit of that skate park.
I was hoping to see a cameo. It didn't happen, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, that didn't even occur to me.
Kaito designed that shit.
It would have been cool to see him, but I don't know. Maybe he's practicing for the Olympics. I hear that's hard work. So,
hey. Who knows?
And I knew Risako was going to be good at this. She's her parkour. I've seen her flip, and she's dexterous. Dexterous? Is that a word?
Dexterous?
It was dexterous. It was a marked difference from previous Skate Deitos where like people are like, "Help, I'm scared, help, help, let me hold on to you." Whereas she got it pretty quick. She was like, "Okay.
Yeah, I got this."
She could do it. She could kick flip in a few months if she keeps practicing, definitely.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Ruka tries to do a pop shove it and he just messes it up on
camera. I was worried he was gonna roll his ankle.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
The sign, there was like a umbrella there and it was like, you know, have fun, skate and eat well. I just thought it was funny it said to eat well.
I liked it.
It's a mantra to live by.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
But I agree. In this moment, Risako also puts herself in Ruka's corner here. Like she's rooting for him. She's very much saying, "Hey, just do what you do around me and you'll be fine."
It's kind of painful because I just remember her, how long ago it seems. She's like, "Be my boyfriend." She really liked him, and now it's kind of devolved into, I mean, it's just friendship. It's purely platonic now. It goes both ways. You know, it's not like one of them likes one and the other. So they've agreed to just be friends. But in a way, it's just kind of sad now to be like, "Hey, just be around them how you are around me. It's cool, right? Just play it casual." And it didn't go that way. You know, in this universe, in this timeline, they're not meant to be.
Yeah, but I think she means, I hope she means that to a certain point, though. Because if he acts the way he is around her, he's going to end up, I don't know, I guess, friend zone, for the lack of a better term, again.
He just needs to relax. That's the theme here. Mm-hmm. Just calm down, man.
If he's too much like he was around Haruka, nope.
No, and
nothing's
going
to come
he's
of that.
Nope.
No, like just like even if only he wanted to be friends, there's like that's just such an uncomfortable position to put someone in.
Right.
You know, to just like, let's be friends, but I can barely talk to you or look at you. And I can only say words when we talk about Harleys and only Harleys. You know,
only Harleys.
It's a weird situation to be in. But then we cut to Shibuya at this bar called Salon Nubatama. I want to say, where Shohei walks in and he seems to have known these bartenders for a while, and or they're the most friendly bartenders ever.
They seem nice.
One of the two. Yeah. But yeah, he talks to Mayumi Shinohara, the 47-year-old owner of this establishment, and he says, "Yeah, I applied to Tara's house pretty much right after I broke up with someone in Taiwan. So
they're
now I get the vibe
that
he's trying to run away from something."
Yeah. Dating 1 month and okay, we broke up. Oh, Tara's house. Here we go. Time and work.
There's my ticket.
He only dated someone for 1 month.
It was 1 month, I think he said. Yeah.
Damn.
And yeah, but I mean, the bar was cool, and the girls were kind of chiding him, like, so because he was saying, oh, the girls they told us that we're too passive, and the one was like, you were really, I can't remember the exact term she said, but she's like, you were going full speed episode one.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now he reveals, very explicitly so, that he's getting more interested in Haruka. He doesn't really say
Haruka.
He likes Hanukkah.
And Haruka. Yes.
Haruka. Got a couple months.
But yeah, like it's
say your
it's
name.
Not
say
that
your name.
He doesn't explicitly say he likes her, but he says her name enough. He talks about her enough where it's like, okay, boy.
I mean, he couldn't stop shooting golf clubs after their golf date.
One thing interesting about that, this is just a very short tangent here, is that they did a study that the longer you're in a relationship with someone, the less, it's like a linear delineation, I can't talk, on how many times you use their name. So like in the beginning of a relationship, you say their name a lot more, like in text, in the phone, when you're talking to people, and then as the relationship goes longer, you stop, and it just starts becoming other things to refer to them besides their name.
So it's like a negative correlation.
I totally see that.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Gotcha.
Interesting. But yeah, so I guess this is our moment of seeing, okay, this is where Shohei's future on the show lies. Let's see if he'll reach anything with that.
Haruka, 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 Haruka.
Haruka. Which, I mean, this is a Haruka. Good time, right? Because Haruka is fighting for Kenny. And in my opinion, I don't think that's a battle she's going to win. Kenny seems to be liking.
No, not after this.
I think Kenny's liking Risako a lot more, just in general.
I wonder. It's getting spicy. Let's see. It's getting saucy.
But we cut to the first floor, and it's Ruka and Kaori, and Kaori's sitting at the dining table drawing, to which Ruka says, "You're drawing." And she's like, "Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I'm drawing Haruka's Corvette." Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. I was like, that's not a great way to start a conversation,
he
just to like point out what they're doing.
He was hovering in the strangest way.
Yeah. But nonetheless, she's drawing a Haruka's Corvette. She said it was her first time drawing up cars, which is, that's cool. You know, we get to see her grow as an artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
To which Haruka gets home and is just like, oh my God, this looks just like my car. I love it. It's
cool.
Great. It's nice.
If the owner says so, then I guess so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Also, did anyone else get, like, because Haruka did her makeup up differently here. Maybe she came home from like a gig or something.
She got bangs.
Yeah. Anyone,
she got bangs.
Anyone think she kind of looked a little bit like Senna?
Yes.
I never thought that.
I felt that.
Yeah.
That never occurred to me.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
I'm sorry to throw it out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then at this point, Ruka and Kaori actually solidify their plans, because now Ruka has his work schedule for the next few weeks, and you know, like, oh, can you go on this day? Should we go to this place? But they've got it all down, and they're going to a place called Sekaido to get arts. To get arts.
To do an art.
Art.
Art tools.
To do a art supply picking date.
Yep.
Are they gonna get food too? Is that on the table? They better get food.
Probably.
This better not be like running errands.
Well, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
We cut to the panel, and they all actually applaud Ruka because he changed so quickly. He did a 180.
Ooh, yeah.
Bah! Bust through his shell.
Yeah, we'll see about that, though. I mean, it was because somebody actually lit a fire under his ass.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that, if I remember right, the panelists did make a prediction that the youngest one might be the one to change the most, because he's the one least set in his ways.
That's why he's there. That's why
Makes sense. Makes sense for me.
You know, he's there for these experiences. Smart. So I think, I mean, if anything, our boy Ruka is learning. He's learning.
Good for him. So, we're at the scene. The scene where Haruka and Risako almost murder each other, I swear. So it starts off with Haruka making a stew for Kenny. I mean, it's not explicitly for Kenny, but holy, it's for Kenny, right?
It looks really good. That salmon looks good. Nom, nom.
Yeah. Risako gets home. Kenny gets home. They eat the food. And you can clearly tell Haruka's looking for Kenny's approval. Like, did I do good? Is the soup good? Did you like the soup? Is the soup delicious?
Yeah.
And then it's just the three of them having a conversation, which Kenny opens up with, so I heard you think the boys are passive. And he doesn't really apologize for it or say he vows to change about it. But he does say, I'm more free next month in June. So let's hang out then.
Well, also he said, he kind of dropped the hammer here where he's like, the reason why I'm not asking anyone out because I don't want anyone to think I like them. I mean, he said it pretty plain there. I don't want to lead anyone on. And I was like, why is no one reacting to that more?
Yeah.
And there was a non-reaction there. And then he said, and then they defend, or they retort, I should say, and say, it doesn't have to be a date, just casual stuff. Just like, just ask us out to do things. And then that's when he said, well, next month I'm free. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And he's basically saying, well, I'll do stuff as long as y'all don't think that Kenny from Spicy Soul would ever date you.
Yeah.
If you want to put it into those terms, okay then.
I'm just getting annoyed by him as all.
But then Haruka's very straightforward back to him and says, yeah, but also I don't know really ever what to say around you or with you or to you. I get very nervous around you. And we've gotten hints of that, right? Like, and there are many dates where Kenny just seems like a hard person to talk to if you don't have something to latch onto to talk with him about.
This is the spark here when she said that, when she took the conversation here. This is the spark that lit the fuse to the stick of dynamite that explodes very shortly here. But I'm just curious, when she did bring that up, like, what was she hoping to get given present company at the table? Like, why did she bring that up then and there? It just seemed like strange timing. I haven't thought about this until just now, but maybe she was trying to get him to say to show Risako that he's interested in her too. I don't know. I'm just wondering where the conversation was going.
Yeah, the goal was.
Yeah. Because it goes a very bad place and Risako takes it there.
Yep.
Well, if I had to guess with Haruka, I think part of the reason she said that is to maybe find a better understanding. Because, like, if you want to be friends with someone, but you can tell, like, there's something going on in the gears of the friendship that just, the gears aren't cranking, you want to identify what it is.
To me, it makes total sense to say that in private.
Yes.
But to do it in front of Risako at the table, that's what I'm wondering. What was her motivation behind that? And it was like, maybe to kind of pay her back, like, see, he likes me too.
Was that to, like, is she trying to one up Risako here?
I wonder. But it blows up, man. Let's get
it there. Does because Risako is
explosions.
Like, you activated my trap card. And she flips over the Yu-Gi-Oh cards because they're all playing Yu-Gi-Oh on the table, and she says, oh, that's because you like him, right, Haruka? Don't you get nervous around the people that you like?
And then Kenny goes, no, I'm just kidding. It would have been funny if he did, isn't it?
Yeah,
but we all
great.
Went.
Dude, wouldn't it be funny if Kenny goes and then you just hear in the background?
Yeah, and this
you
was
hear
like
Shohei in the living room.
God,
I'm sorry.
This was such like an obvious attack on Haruka too, because it's not like one of those things where like, okay, it's your friend and you're there with your friend who is just trying to embarrass you, right? You know, that like they don't have any interest in Kenny. You know, they're just trying to embarrass you. They're just there because they're your idiot friend. No, she's actively trying to make Haruka look worse.
They don't have a rapport like that.
Right.
No, that's why it was like, I almost feel like this was premeditated in a sense, because it's like she was like, okay, I put it out there a couple days ago that I'm comfortable with just like saying shit like that. So guess what? I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she laid the trap.
It's like, I warned you this would happen. I told you she played the trap card earlier. I wasn't kidding. When I said trap.
Brutal if that's the case. I mean, definitely, like I said, Risako's mean streak comes out here.
Mm. Yeah, because
I did not see it like hitting as hard as it did, but dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not written off.
Right, because at first Haruka tries to disarm the situation. She's kind of like, what? I don't know. Just stop it. Like, whatever, right? But then Risako doubles down, and this is one of those, like, I hear the words you're saying. I know you mean something else moments. Because Risako apologizes and says, I shouldn't have said that in front of you. I just think that that's what that means. Not that I know. Isn't that the case, though? I'll stop talking about it.
What?
It's like, yeah, like, you fucking know that Haruka likes him. Everyone at the table does, but...
Yeah, you can't just throw that shit out there and then, like, take it back. It's already done.
Yeah, you did the damage, and it was a completely dishonest apology, too. Like...
Yeah. Her hands are not clean of sin.
No. Yeah. You planned all of it anyway. Like
it was such a non-apology too from Risako.
Well, of course it was
very much non-apology.
I think that was probably part of the plan.
It was like kind of painful, like because you know then Kenny leaves and then
he's like, I got to go to the bathroom, there. And then he never comes back. By the way, because we don't see him again. He's already in the boys' room.
Same Kenny.
Yeah.
Same Kenny.
Yeah. He's really. Like, I'm gonna blast on out of here. This is really uncomfortable. And then the scene just keeps going.
Yeah, that's the thing. The fact that they're both sitting there, like, on their phones, and Haruka's obviously trying to keep her cool, and Risako's like, gomen.
Yeah.
And then when Haruka leaves, like, she's just, like, on my phone. Not a second thought.
Yeah, and here's the thing, right? With the way Risako says gomen, right? Like, she even says, oh, man, now I feel awkward. Isn't this such an awkward situation for you, Haruka? It's like, man, fuck you. Like, that's so mean. And the fact that you're laughing totally at her, like, this is not a, oh, man, this is a funny situation. I'm going to laugh into the cosmos laugh. Like, this is a, I know I've caused you pain. And I'm going to revel in it with my laughter.
Yeah,
but Haruka's just like, you know that I like him, right? Why would you say that? I would never blare out your feelings out there like that in public. Yeah. Like, it's just like, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Oh, it was completely disrespectful. And if anything, what she just did there is she cemented, I mean that was absurdly unattractive to Kenny. That wasn't winning her any sort of points with Kenny at all.
Winning Risako.
It's gonna give Risako the exact opposite of the reaction she was hoping to get.
Yeah, it was awkward for him. He's like, I don't even know what this conversation is right now. Peace.
Yeah, and I mean, would you be too? Like, if you were Kenny in that situation, I'd be like, I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah, because he realizes now he's not involved in a conversation with the two girls. He's a bystander witnessing two girls fighting over petty shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he sees
literally
the drama.
Said, I don't understand what we're talking about right now.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom.
Like,
bye.
This is one of those, like, he totally understands what's going on, but he also realizes this is not his conversation.
It's not about him, really. It's about these two girls. Which again, it's like that's what I brought up earlier in the episode, right? It was like, how much is this really about Kenny? This is more about the girls winning over each other in a way. It's like a rivalry, and he's just kind of there to be the object, you know, to orbit around. So the thing about it is, Haruka, you know, is stewing there, and she is getting emotional, and I'm getting kind of mad on her behalf too, because I'm similar, right? I don't sit there and just blurt out stuff like that, especially if I do have a big crush on somebody. It's much more, it's an unspoken thing, you know. It's I'm not like Risako when it comes to that. So if someone did that to me, my blood would be boiling too, I think, and I would take it more as like a personal attack and almost like a sabotage act, right? And so she sits there, she's stewing, you can see her looking around, the music starts getting way more tense. And then Haruka just compounds the issue by making an extreme, in my opinion, an extremely, extremely emotional decision, and gets up and goes, do you mind if I go talk to Kenny? Because he probably thinks I like him now. And I don't know why she even asked Risako for permission, but she goes, yeah, go ahead, whatever.
Well, eventually she just says, I'm going to go talk to him.
I'm going to go talk to him.
Yeah.
Why? Don't. Just leave it alone. Let it blow over. Like, don't even don't address this with Kenny. She goes into his room and starts crying. Oh my God.
And Kenny's Kenny's just sitting there like wide-eyed, like, what the fuck?
He literally just took off his socks, balled him up in a ball. She's like, okay, what are we doing? It was just like, Haruka, no. No, don't do that. Don't do what you're going to do.
No. She should have taken a breather and let it sit for a minute. Calm the fuck down. Even if she wanted to talk to him, she should have waited. She should have waited.
Don't go in there and cry.
No.
I don't know what the intention was she gonna be like, hey, I don't like you.
Yeah, I'm just crying, I don't like you. I just don't like, like you. So I don't care if you ask me out.
I think the prediction is gonna go, I mean, obviously she's crying. I think my prediction is like, it's gonna be like, yes, at least I hope it goes this way. Yes, I like you, but I wasn't hoping you would find out this way. And
that's where I'm
right
at, yeah.
That's what I hope. I mean, that's the elegant way to do it, but like I said, I think she's just the timing here, you know, I think it's just she's going to dig some kind of hole. I mean, I can't wait to see where it goes, but it's going to be like there's going to be bloodshed, I think, between the girls. I don't know. There might even be like a house talk about this.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
This is an incident.
Our next episode is called Girl Fight.
Yeah. That's it's going to get bloody.
So here's the thing. So people in our community keep telling us, like, you know, watch out for episode 11. Obviously, we haven't seen it yet. I don't know anything about it, but it's like, OK, so you're telling me this isn't it. This next episode isn't going to be. Like the
what number are we on? That's a while away.
Yeah, that's gonna say
the next episode's 9
because the next episode's 9, and people are telling us
fight. You think by the title, you think it's gonna be
that's
juicy.
What I'm saying. Like, isn't this the tea? You know what I'm saying? Like everything that everyone's been talking about, but guess not.
So I wanna ask two kind of wrap up questions here. As now that we're like looking over the episode as a whole, one, do you guys think this was something that Risako done out of pure malice? Or perhaps is she a sociopath? Because the quote I want to analyze here is she, like, after Haruka says, like, hey, I didn't like that you did that, Risako responds, oh, you didn't want me to say that? I don't understand other people's emotions.
I think that was an excuse. I don't know. I can't say sociopath yet. I think it was just malice. I think it was petty. I think it was malicious.
Petty. I think petty is a good word.
Yeah, she doesn't like how Haruka has, I mean, this has been brewing for 8 episodes now. She doesn't like how Haruka is jumping from wherever Risako's interests are. So she's like, this is a way to get her back. This is like a gut punch. Like, well, all right, you want to keep jumping? You like him now? Oh, well, I'm going to embarrass you in front of him right now.
Mm. Yeah, that honestly, I think Jack pretty much summed it up. Yeah, I think it was definitely like to get a one up on Haruka and win this quote unquote competition. And as we were saying earlier, this isn't really about Kenny anymore, at least not to Risako, right?
Yeah. In order to get the sociopath tag, I need to see like a storied history. I need to see like a pattern.
Right. Because otherwise,
if Risako keeps doing this over and over again, then I'm ready to
I think otherwise, Risako has been great. You know what I'm saying?
I really like her. And that's what's disappointing about this part is seeing her act like this. Because I do like her a lot.
But yeah,
the whole thing is just we'll have to see, like, is there a recovery from this?
Right.
Right. Are they going to be friends by the end?
And I kind of just want to go watch the episode now.
Let's go.
It's quite the cliffhanger. And Terrace House is great at this shit.
Right. But the other question I did want to leave you with is, where do you think, because we've kind of touched on before that Shohei and Kaori are kind of like the sponges of juicy deets in the house and or the mediators of the house in a way, you know, because they're the ones that everyone comes to with these kind of things.
Their woes.
Yes. Where do you think they would stand on this situation here? Because this is something that's happened completely externally from Shohei and Kaori. Neither of them were there. They will both be hearing about this from secondhand, third-hand sources.
I don't.
How do you think they'll analyze it?
I think that Kaori would prefer not to be involved whatsoever.
Absolutely.
But I think that Haruka is going to directly talk to her about that, and you know, she's going to comfort her. She's going to be like, "Oh, she, you know, obviously she shouldn't have said that. Obviously that wasn't good." I don't think that she's going to be like, "Risako, we got beef now," but
that's a bad way to go. It's a possibility, but it hopefully doesn't get there. Yeah,
I think it's going to be more like it's just going to get hella awkward, hella fast.
Mm.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I honestly, Daily, you pretty much summed up my thoughts. I think that's how Kaori is definitely going to react. I think from Shohei's perspective, I mean, I'm just curious to hear Kenny's take on all of it. Which is, I'm sure, is how Kenny is, or Shohei's probably going to hear about it. But I just want to hear what Kenny has to say behind closed doors. Like, what
I mean, you know, yeah, the next scene has to be them in that room. It has to be that. If it's not that, then I'm booing the show. It has to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure. We'll see. But so what, let's, yeah, like, what is she going to say? I just don't want you to think I like you. He's like, fine, I don't like you either. Like, that's how, is that how it's going to go?
Don't worry. Don't worry. I don't.
So remember, I'm not asking you out, girl.
He's going to say, like, I was hoping you wouldn't find out in this way. And then he's going to give her some sort of sage advice, right? Or something, right? And then they may end up, like, there could be the possibility that they become closer because of it. There's a chance.
Definitely. Not saying it's Risiko, guaranteed. Yeah, that Risiko, this plan might backfire in Risiko's face. Definitely.
Yeah.
He might say here, you know, I really think you're beautiful. I've said so much to the other guys. She'll be like, really? I was starting to wonder.
I don't know if I don't think it'll go that far. I don't think it'll go that far.
We'll see.
But
yeah,
we'll find out.
I say Let's find out right now because We've been sitting on this episode for a while.
Yes.
So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, any theories about our analysis here in this episode, please feel free to reach out to us and email those things at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. You can catch us next Tuesday where we finally unfold whatever the hell is going to happen in Girl Fight, the next episode.
Get it. I got one other thing to say. The Discord is picking up steam. Thank you to everyone that has joined recently. And again, if you're not on Discord, get there because that's probably where we have the most engagement.
Yeah, and honestly, so we did. Did we mention it on the show already? But we did meet a couple of the people in our community, and it was really cool to get to talk to them. And also, on Discord. And the Discord is actually a really good way to get in more direct contact with us and give us feedback about the show, because it's been invaluable hearing from the people in the Discord and what they think of the show, what they think is going on in the world of Terrace House too. It really helps us get an idea of the direction that we should direct our episodes, or if there's any talking points that we need to bring up. So,
and just gentle reminder to everyone out there, we only have one rule on the Discord: be excellent to each other, be nice, be kind. Let's talk about our show, let's talk about Terrace House, let's have a great time.
Yes. And we also do impromptu Q&A's when we're feeling froggy. So I mean, if you want to get in touch with us just directly out of nowhere, and we're just like, hey guys, we're here, you want to talk, join the voice chat, feel free, because we've done it once. So shout out to Rosie for that, shout out to Jonathan for that, shout out to Conch Bubby, thank you for speaking with us.
Ribbit.
Yep, just like frogs. But that should bring us to a close here. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itekimasu.
If you enjoy our show, please like, comment, and subscribe, and ding the bell to receive notifications when we publish new content. Follow us on social media and check out our brand new Discord server linked in the description below.